Good morning to you. Good to see you again, and again, happy to be in your presence on this morning. And so very thankful the way that you guys have been treating me thus far. It's very good to be able to go to a congregation and see people with warm and kind hearts, and I really appreciate that. I am staying at a beautiful place. It's called the Summer Hotel. Amen. There's a beautiful lady there. Her name is Barbara, and there's a handsome man. His name is Gary, and we're having a fantastic time, and I'm just happy to be in their company. But thank you again for everything that you've done and making me feel so welcome here. Gospel meetings. I remember the first gospel meeting that I ever attended in the Church of Christ. Remember the speaker. Remember all of his lessons. I remember getting a tape, and I remember memorizing the sermons on that. It's amazing with gospel meetings. You always remember that first one, and there's always something that you remember from a gospel meeting. I don't know what you'll take away from this gospel meeting. I'll let you do that yourself. But I know that you'll remember something. I know that you'll hold on to something. And I know at some point, if you allow it, it'll change your life. And so here we are today as we enter into this gospel meeting. This morning, we talked about the pitfalls of evangelism. And then for right now, for our morning worship service, it takes us to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And within Acts chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse number 36, and we'll work our way down with verse number 41. If you have that in your Bible, it reads as follows. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wonder on this morning if I could hold your attention for a little while, if we could speak from the topic of, now that you know, what do you do? We are in Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts is commonly referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. There are many things that the apostles did throughout this book here. If you want to know how the church was established, it's in the book of Acts. If you want to know how a person can become a member of the church, it's in the book of Acts. If you want to know how they worship, it's in the book of Acts. Everything is right there within the book of Acts. We come into Acts chapter 2. It is the day of Pentecost. Everyone has descended upon a beautiful place called Jerusalem. On this beautiful day, the apostles will stand up and they will declare the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many people will hear it. Some will obey it, and some will turn and go the other way. Notice what we find as we jump into this text. Peter will do primarily most of the speaking. The other disciples will be teaching as well also. But there are certain things that Peter will already address before he reaches verse number 36. Throughout this setting, he will talk repeatedly about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection before we reach verse number 36. Notice what you have in the text if you look at quickly at verse number 22. In verse 22, it says, You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter makes his first announcement. You have taken the Son of God. You have crucified and slain him. We have Jesus. He's dead now. We have his death. In verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. And now we have his resurrection. Peter will do it again. Notice verse number 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither was it that his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, whom God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. He's still talking about the same thing, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When we get to verse number 36, Peter begins to give detailed information, and notice how he starts off. Therefore, the word therefore is implying because of what has preceded this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus. He's making sure that he doesn't lose the people. God has made that same Jesus. Which Jesus, Peter? The one that I've been speaking about all day long. I'm still talking about the same Jesus. God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. He identifies him. In that day and time, there were many people who wore the name of Jesus. That was a common name. But Peter makes this very clear. I'm talking about the Jesus that you crucified. He says God has made him both Lord and Christ. That Jesus? Yes. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And in verse number 37, the text says this. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. The Bible tells us that they heard this. After hearing this, they were pricked in the heart. What's so amazing about hearing the word of God? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are they hearing the word of God? Yes, they are. Peter is very clear. Peter has told them repeatedly, verse 23 through verse number 24, that you crucified Jesus. God raised him up from the dead. You drop down to 32 and 33. He's dead again. God raises him up. You have it there. And in verse number 36, he's crucified. Clearly, he paints this picture. He's giving them the word of God. They hear the word of God. As a result of hearing the word of God, it produces faith. They have faith. Notice the text, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. That word pricked means that they were cut to the heart. It pierced them. They felt guilty about what had happened. What has happened thus far? You have killed the Son of God. Notice what the text says again in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, that's really the only answer that you could give that day, or the only question that you could ask on that day. You just found out that you didn't just kill a man, but you killed the Son of God. You just found out that the man that you were standing there screaming, crucify him, that was the Messiah. You just found out this information. And immediately, the only question that you can ask is, men and brethren, what shall we do? How is it possible that I can get this sin off of me? How is it possible that I can do something that God will change my circumstance? Because I understand what you're saying, Peter. We have killed the Son of God. They understood that so well that their question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse number 38, what Peter is about to say is very important. They asked an honest question, what shall we do? Peter has to give them the right answer. There are some things in life that you may just mess up. Amen. Me going to the grocery store for my wife, I'm going to mess that up every time. Amen. There are some things that you're just not going to get right in life. There are some things you're going to fall short of in life. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, Peter will get this right. Amen. Peter will get this right. Peter will tell them exactly what they need to do in order to be saved. You're going to ask a honest, sincere question, and he's going to give you an honest and sincere answer. Notice something that Peter did not say in this text. When they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice what he did not say. Peter did not say, well, you know what? Since you already believe, you don't need to do nothing. I know you believe because when I told you that you crucified the Son of God and God has made him both Lord and Christ, when I told you that you were pricked in the heart and you said, men and brethren, what shall we do? So I know you believe that. So since you believe that, you don't have to do anything. You've got faith. Peter didn't say that. That would have been a great opportunity for him to say that if it was true. But he didn't say that. Neither did Peter say this. You know what? Since you do believe, all you need to do is say the sinner's prayer. For some reason, Peter didn't say that either. And you know what? Something else Peter didn't say. Peter didn't say this. You know what? Just ask the Lord to come into your life and to make you whole and to cleanse you and to make you new, and you'll be all right. Peter didn't say that. Those are three things that the world says when people ask them, what must I do to be saved? Three things that you can't find in the Bible. Three things that when the gospel is about to be given to the world for the first time, Peter did not say. Why is the world saying these things when Peter didn't say those things? Why is the world teaching those things when the Bible doesn't teach that? They ask the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? They are implying there's something that we don't know. There's something that we don't know, Peter. We don't know certain things. And we're going to ask you this question, Peter, and hopefully you'll give us the right answer. And here comes the answer. Notice 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. The first thing on his list is repent. Why doesn't he start out with belief? Because they already believe. He already has them there. He goes with repent. What does that word repent mean? If you get a chance to look it up, in the Strong's Concordance, the word repent means to think differently or to turn away. To think differently or to turn away. What have they done? They've crucified the Son of God. They need to repent. They need to turn away from their ways. They need to think differently about sin. Peter says, I need you to repent. And then he inserts a conjunction, the word and. He doesn't stop there, but he says, I need you to repent and I need you to be baptized. And then he gets very clear, every one of you. Not just you, but every one of you. You mean every one of us has to do the same thing? Yes. And every one of us today has to do the same thing. Peter says, I need you to repent and I need you to be baptized. What does that word baptize mean? If you get a chance to look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it's found in the Greek version number 907. The word baptize comes to us by way of the Greek word baptizo. And the word baptize means to immerse, to submerge, to make wham, or i.e., fully wet. I need you to repent, change your ways, turn away, think differently about sin, and I need you to be baptized. I need you to be immersed, submerged in water. That's the information that he's giving. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only is Peter saying this, but Peter backs it up with a stamp of approval. I need you to be baptized. I need you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the authority. Peter, where is this coming from? In the name of Jesus Christ. By his authority. All of this is coming by way of Jesus the Christ. I need you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter, what is this baptism for? The remission of sins. When one is baptized, their sins are washed away. Peter is very clear. I need you to repent first. Turn away. I need you to be baptized to have your sins washed away for the remission of sins. And then he says this, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you see the order there in how Peter presented this? Peter is simply saying this, repent, be baptized, remission of sins, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Why is it that they received the Holy Ghost after baptism? Well, because baptism would wash the sins away. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, it's for the remission of sins. Why would God give you the clean, pure, Holy Spirit and you hadn't been baptized? You don't even like to put on dirty socks, amen. Especially after you just took a bath. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you put on dirty socks and just got clean? Or then why would you take something clean and give it to something dirty? They're still filthy in their sins. He's not going to give them the Holy Spirit first one needs to repent and be baptized. And then here comes the clean, pure Holy Spirit. That's the order in which God did that. They did not know that. And that's why Peter is telling them that. There are some things that they did not know. And he's giving them that information. And then Peter backs it up with this. Notice verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter says, listen, this promise that I'm talking about, it's for you. And you know what? It's for your children. And then he begins to go down this list and notice what he says. And to all that are afar off, that would include the Gentiles as well. That would include us, those who are afar off, those who did not have a relationship. This promise is for us as well, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise that Peter is giving, that if one obeys what is written here, you're going to be saved. And this promise goes out to everybody, no matter who you are. Does everybody has to do the same thing? I believe they do. That's why Peter said, every one of you. He again is telling them what they did not know. And again, they're hearing this information. Notice verse number 40. And with many other words that he testified and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Do you see the pattern? They asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter begins to preach, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. And then verse number 40, and with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves. Is Peter saying that they're not saved already? Amen. They're not saved yet. They simply heard the information. They simply were told what to do, but they hadn't done anything yet. Peter has given them the information, and then Peter says this, now save yourselves. You're asking me, what shall we do? This is what you need to do. After he gives the prescription in terms of what they need to do, then Peter says, now save yourselves. They haven't done anything yet. They just heard the information and they're taking it in. They're not saved just because they heard the information, because they haven't done anything yet. That's why Peter says, save yourselves. This is the information. Now you save yourself. It's like you going to work tomorrow. You clock in, the boss calls a meeting, everybody shows up on the floor. The boss says, listen, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to get this out of the way, and we're going to get this account out of the way, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. He's simply giving out information. And at some point, he's going to turn and say, now go. Go to work. Go and do that. We simply heard the information, hadn't done anything. Same thing with the book of Acts. They simply have heard the information, something that they did not know, but they haven't done anything yet. And Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That term, untoward generation, means crooked or perverse generation. Peter is very clear. You're asking me what you need to do. I'm not going to lie to you. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then he closes out with, save yourselves. And then notice verse number 41. Then they, who is the Bible referring to when it says they? The same individuals who asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Could you imagine that? They that gladly received his word, they heard what Peter said. They received his word by being baptized as well. It's not that they received the word and then left out baptism. Receiving the word implies as well also that you're going to be baptized. He says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Why is it that they got baptized on the same day? Think about this. 3,000 people. Couldn't Peter have said, you know what? This is just too many of y'all. We can't pull this off. Not today. Not today. I tell you what, we're going to do 1,000 this week. Next week, if you come back, we'll do another 1,000. And the week after that, if you come back, we'll do another 1,000. Why is it that Peter didn't say that? Why is it that they took time to baptize about 3,000 people? The most people that we've ever baptized at the congregation where I preach, we did 5 in one Sunday. We almost lost our mind. Amen. 5 people in one Sunday. 3,000 people in one day. Why is it that they didn't push them off and say, listen, this is too many. Why don't y'all just wait? If baptism is for the remission of sins, and it is, then if those people had walked away and not been baptized, their sins would have still been with them. You mean, Peter, this may take all day, then it will take all day. You mean we'll be out here for a while doing this, then we'll be out here for a while doing this. Is their soul important or is it not important? Are we giving salvation so that man can be saved and then step back and say, you know what, but I just don't have time for this baptism? About 3,000 souls were baptized that day, and they didn't put off not one baptism. Imagine that. All of those individuals did it on the same day. Now that you know, what do you do? What did they did not know? They didn't know this prescription in terms of what to do in order to be saved. They heard that information and they were obedient to that. They are saved individuals now because they obeyed the word of God. You've got to ask yourself this question. Did I do what they did in Acts chapter 2? Did I do what they did in the Bible? Did I follow the same steps that they followed in the Bible? Listen, if you're at a religious institution and you go down and you say, you know, I want to be saved today, and they tell you, okay, you're already saved, but we're going to baptize you 3 months from now, you need to try to find that in the Bible. Amen. If they're saying that they have the authority to tell you that, then there must be a scripture in the Bible to prove that. And there is no scripture. But there is a scripture in the Bible that tells us what they did. And what they did was they heard the word of God. They believed the word of God. They did repent of their sins. And they were baptized. Do we have somewhat of a confession in this setting here? I believe we do. And we look at verse number 37. In verse 36, he makes the announcement that you have killed the Son of God, the same one that God has raised up, made him both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? If you're asking the question, what shall we do? Because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, aren't you sort of confessing that? The fact that you believe that and the fact that you're asking a question. And then we also have verse number 40. And with many other words did he testify and exalt. He actually could have inserted it there. But we just don't know what the many other words were. But we do know that he gave them what they needed in order to be saved. And they took advantage of that. And they did that. 3,000 people in one day. And they were determined to make that happen. After the 3,000 were baptized, what did God do with that great number? What did God do with the 3,000 that were baptized? Notice what you see in verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were praising God. They were having favor with all the people, and the Lord And who would be the Lord? Verse number 36. That's Jesus, Lord in Christ. And the Lord added to the church. How many churches did he add them to? There was only one church. Isn't it amazing in verse number 47 and verse number 36 and following? You never have anybody in the audience who raise their hand and say, now, Peter, what church are we going to be a member of? You mean out of all of this sermon about what you need to do to be saved, not one person raised their hand and said, what church are we going to be a member of? And you know why? In verse number 47, there was only one church. When you have one, you're not confused. You know how many wives I have? I just have one. And I better say that. Amen. I just have one. And I am not confused because I only have one. There was only one church. No one raised their hand and said, which church are we going to be a member of? It was only one. You did not have a choice. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. When did he do it? Daily. Let's piggyback off of that word daily. God adds the saved to the church. He does it daily. How did the saved become saved? Verse number 38. They repented of their sins. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. You mean after doing that, God added them to the church daily? Yes. If God can add daily, then that means that a person can be baptized any day of the week. Amen. It's not just Sunday, but it's any day of the week. If the Lord adds daily, and how did the saved, how did they get themselves in that position? They obeyed the gospel. That means a person can be baptized any day of the week. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that they know, what do? They did that. They obeyed the gospel. And they became saved individuals. They now wear the name of Christ because of what they did. This is Acts chapter 2. This is groundbreaking in terms of what everybody has to teach on planet Earth. This is the apostles giving the word of God out after the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have descended upon a place called Jerusalem. They will teach everybody what they need to do to be saved. I believe they got it right. I believe they said it correctly. And I believe that because it's in this beautiful book called the Bible. And this book called the Bible is an inspired word from God that God breathed out himself, according to the book of Timothy. And then in the book in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible reminds us that God, in hope of eternal life that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God can't lie, and all scripture came by God, then what we read in this Bible, it's the truth. You mean we have to do it that way? Yes, we do. The question is, if you did it any other way, was that the right way? And do you want to take the way that you did it and go to the judgment and stand before the Almighty God and say, you know what, I did it my own way, and I'm ready for you to pronounce sentence upon me. I'm ready for you to judge me. The way I did it, it's not found in the Bible, but I'm going to stand here at the judgment, and I want you, God, to judge me. Who in their right mind wants to do that? When I stand before God, I want it to be based upon what I've seen in this book and what I've obeyed in this book. And then I'm going to need a little bit of grace in Jesus' will in order to get into that place called heaven. But you want all of that working in your favor. Now that you know, what do you do? The plan of salvation is so simple, the world makes it hard. It's so simple that the world makes it hard. You mean all I have to do is the same thing? Yes. If it produced Christians in that day and time, it's going to still produce Christians today. We just need to keep it simple. They heard it. They believed it. They repented, they confessed, they were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. Look at your life today and see where you stand. Maybe you did not know this, but now that you know this, what will you do? Now that you know what the Bible said, what will you do? Just be concerned with you right now, as Peter was with them in verse number 40 when he said, save yourselves. How are they going to save themselves? by doing what Peter told them to do. And if they do that, they're going to become saved. On today, if you're looking for salvation, or if you're looking for something in the Bible that's going to direct you in terms of what you need to do in order to be saved, it is found in that Bible. Our job is to look for it and to find it. And this is what we found in the Bible. Number one, in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, we first need to hear the word of God. And why is it that we need to hear the word of God? Well, in that verse it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You mean we gain faith by hearing the word of God? Yes, we do. You then take that faith and you begin to believe in God. You begin to believe in his son, Jesus the Christ. You believe that he lived, he died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. After we have established belief in God and belief in his son, we move to the next step, and that's repenting of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's say that we don't know what the word repent means, but we do know what the word perish means. I don't have a clue what repent means, but I do know that what perish means. Perish means that I'm going to lose my soul and I won't make it to a place called heaven. With that in mind, I don't care what repent is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take repentance. If perish means that I'll lose my soul and I won't make it into heaven, I'm going to take repentance in a heartbeat. And what is that? That's where I feel godly sorrow. That's where I have a change of mind that results in a change of action or lifestyle. That's where I turn away from that which is wrong and I come back to Christ Jesus. If you're stealing and you say that you repent, you're not stealing anymore. Amen. We're doing the opposite. If I'm headed on 75 north, and I'm supposed to be going 75 south, I've got to turn around and come back. Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then after repentance, we need to make the mouth confession. The same confession Ethiopian eunuch made in Acts chapter 8 and the latter part of verse 37, where he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Does everybody have to make that confession? Yes, we do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. That confession has got to be made by everybody. And then after that confession has been made, it's time for us to be baptized. And according to the Bible, this is what baptism will do for us. In Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. And Ananias said to Saul that day, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins and calling on the name of the Lord. Number one, baptism is going to wash your sins away. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, Paul said, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Number two, baptism is going to put you into Christ. And number three, in Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In Mark 16:16, baptism will save you. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, it's going to put you into Christ. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16, it will wash away your sins. It is safe to say that if you have not been baptized, your sins have not been washed away. It is safe to say that if you have not been baptized, you are not in Christ. It is safe to say that if you have not been baptized, you are not saved, based upon the Bible. Now that you know, what will you do? And after that baptism is over, and you go down and your sins are washed away, and you come up a new creature in Christ Jesus, we're charged by Jesus, by way of Revelation chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Salvation can be yours today. Will you take it? Will this be the day that you leave out of this auditorium being a saved individual? Or do you really think you're going to get another shot at this on next Sunday? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. If you're here today, and maybe you stand in need of prayer, or maybe you know of others who need the prayers of the church, we want to encourage you to come as we all together stand and sing the song of invitation.